The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Make you wait for a little bit. It sounds like we're back in business, and I hope it's coming through loud and clear wherever you are. It sounded good on the return. I could hear the intro music. We were on the phone for most of the week, as you probably know if you've been with us. But thanks to Todd Waite at the network, we got everything hooked back up. I might even take a picture of this and put it up on the internet if I can clear the garbage off my desk. I bought an iPad Pro. I've never had an iPad before. I'm not much of a gadget person. And I wanted to use my RCA 44BX microphone, 1946 version. It's just a beautiful mic, which I always used. And I had to get another little box to interface between the mic and the iPad. Now, what's on the iPad, you might ask, and as well you should. What's on the iPad is a program. It's an app called Lucy Live Light. L-U-C-I-L-I-V-E, Light. Lucy Live. If you want to look this up, you can see it online. It's Lucy. L-U-C-I, live.eu. It's a European product. And it is apparently taking live remote broadcasting, radio and television, by storm. I can even use it. It was a war to get it configured right, only because I'm dumb. But we got it. And I hope you can hear me as well as I can hear myself, which is pretty good. So, it's Friday. And it's time to see if Harry Cooper is there, because we've upped the program start 1 hour on him. Did you get it? Are you there?
Oh, I'm a lot happier. We're starting an hour earlier.
I figured you might be. That's why we did it.
Right. Are you aware that you and Todd were talking back and forth on the live mic during your intro?
No.
Okay. Let me be the first to tell you.
So I thought that...
All right. Oh, okay.
No
what
one's
can I
listening,
say?
Harry. No one's listening. the old setup, Todd could not speak to me during the broadcast. He had the lines were tied up, and he'd have to call and talk that way. But now. I can hear him, but if we're on the air, you'll get to hear him too. Everyone will. Anyway.
All right. Wow. So, you're famous, Todd.
I He's some. I worked, honestly, I'm not a techno-savvy person. I spent at least 10 hours total on the phone with Apple tech support, Sweetwater tech support. I can't remember who else I talked to. But it's been a war, but we got it. We got it done. And this means that I can take this iPad and the little tiny mic interface box and go anywhere and do the program. Not that I travel, but, I mean, it would be that easy to do. This is going up on Verizon online. I bought an unlimited cell data plan, whatever that means. And I think I have an idea. But anyway, it's going up at some phenomenal speed, somewhere between, they claim they have 300 plus megabits per second upstream speed. I don't know if that's true, even if it's 50. It's a damn sight better than what I have in the office, which is 1.6 something. 1.6 something. That's the upspeed. So Verizon is just it's a fiber optic speed of light thing. Anyway, so glad to be back. Glad to hopefully sound like normal again. And
that sounds good for today being Thursday.
Thursday?
I'm looking at rents.com, and we got Thursday up there, Dr. Henry Nyman.
Nyman. I'm waiting. I've sent the guests in. Hold on. We got to get... see, what's happened, starting the program early took an hour away from my prep time and my work time, so I have to try to cram everything in to half the time I had before, in the run-up to the program. And people say, oh, send the guests in early. I'd like to, but I don't honestly know some days who's going to be on until very shortly before the program. And as all of you know, sometimes we call guests and they just aren't home, or they forgot, or they
that's got to be a real nightmare on your side of the coin. How could anybody forget they're going to be on the radio? Well, they forget.
They actually do. It's amazing. I sent the guests in, let's see, 20 minutes ago, and they're still not posted, so I do apologize. They should be.
Maybe Jose's wife locked him out of the house again.
I don't know. I'm going to resend them. We've got Harry up first tonight, and we have a lot of photos to look at. But before we get to the photos, if we could get to the photos, because we can't see the photos to click on them. Tell us what's happening with your research expeditions to South America and the next tour to Europe. Where are we?
Okay. Europe is the last 2 weeks of September. Your listeners can go to sharkhunters.com and then scroll down below the picture of Ronald Reagan, and you'll see the information there. Ronald Reagan was member number 1858 until his passing. Great man. We arrive in Munich. We spend a day or two in Munich seeing the historic sites there in Munich. Then we go up to Nuremberg, and we visit the historic sites there, the party rally grounds. We go inside that huge, big stadium, which most people don't even bother to think there is an inside. But that huge, big stadium has a large reception room entrance from the back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've seen that in pictures.
Right.
Many times,
the Golden Room.
It is gorgeous.
It's fantastic. And so we visit that. We visit the Congressa Hall, which is built like the Colosseum in Rome, only big enough to where you could put the Colosseum into the inner parking lot of that place. So we'll be there. It never got finished. The war started, and so the troops and the material had to go into the war. We may possibly, I'm not sure, we usually visit the grave of Hans Ulrich Rudel, probably the greatest pilot ever in history. He did his job so well for the Luftwaffe, they had to create an extra special medal for him, the Knight's Cross, right, with oak leaf, swords and diamonds, with the medal itself in gold. He was the only guy that ever got that medal. But he was still very pro Third Reich after the war, so they wouldn't let him be buried in Nuremberg. He had to be buried in a church cemetery about an hour outside of Nuremberg. So we go there. We got a couple of possible firsts hanging in the wind here. We're still waiting. Messerschmitt Foundation, they're changing some of their rules, but it appears we're going to be visiting the Messerschmitt Foundation. That's on a top secret German military base, which is why we're having to wait and get a lot of permissions. But there they've got operational ME-109 fighter and an ME-262 jet fighter, and they've got other warbirds in there, and they fly them. So this is not just a museum. This is the actual hangar where they maintain these things, and they fly. We also go to Hangar 7 of Red Bull, and I used to think Red Bull was an American company. It's
not. Everybody does. That would be logical. Yeah,
right, because it's so huge in this country,
sure,
but it's not an American company. It is a company based in Salzburg, Austria.
Uh-huh.
And they've got this huge, big, modern aircraft hangar where and they make so much money, apparently. They sponsor all sorts of racing equipment, drag racing, NASCAR racing, Indy racing, Formula One racing. And so a lot of those race cars are in there. They've got a lot of Soviet fighters in there, but they've also got the only flying operational P-38 Lightning in Europe. And you can walk right up to this thing. They've got a B-25. It flies. And they've got a Navy Corsair. And last time we were over there, they had it rolled out onto the hardpan, the mechanics working on it. And then the pilot comes out, he gets into the cockpit, puts on his helmet, and he starts that big 16-foot prop rotating in here, pocket, and suddenly thunderous 2,000 horsepower come to life, pulls down the wings, taxis out, and away he goes, and we got to watch it all right out the window.
That's amazing. Now, that Corsair, a 16-foot prop. I had no idea. That's a big plane, by the way. It's not a little tiny plane. It's big.
Right. They had a huge, big engine in them. And it had the reverse gull wing for stability and for aerobatics. And, boy, that was a tough fighter plane. The Marines used it a lot, and the Navy carriers, they were switching over from the Hellcats. So the Hellcats were designed pretty much to fight the Zero because they had a much better turning radius than the other American fighters. So they got those to fight with the Zeros. But I don't know if there's any of those guys still alive or flying. So, and we're working hard. We're not sure we're there yet, but working hard to get permission to go into Hangar 8, which is where they do all the maintenance on these planes. So,
they
and one nice thing about
on
Hangar
them?
7 is ultra modern, and it's owned by Red Bull, etc. And they've got a snack bar with ice cream.
Yeah. What did you say they did in Hangar 8? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Hangar 8 is off limits to everybody. That's where they do the actual maintenance on their warbirds.
I see.
So, okay. Nobody's been able to get in there yet, but
now you've Harry's been on a remarkable diet. You lost 40 pounds. How did you do that again?
I did.
Well, you told me you went into this place and you came out 40 pounds lighter.
I got a haircut. Those who saw me on my first Hitler escape video that I posted on our YouTube channel, 4 days ago, I think it was, my daughter said I should go get a haircut. I look like an aging hippie.
And no,
she's right.
No. Daughter loves dad, but he's not always right. That was the real you, and I thought you looked terrific.
I get a haircut every 3 months, whether I need it or not.
Right.
And one thing I got to tell you, God sure has smiled on me, because I got a really thick, full head of hair. And at my age, most guys, if they've got 6 hairs left on their head, they're doing well. But I got a full head of hair. And what the heck? So
No more haircuts. Come on, that's enough.
Not this week. And going to Chicago, I'm digressing from Germany, et cetera, but going to Chicago in June, where we've got another Shark Hunters get-together, it's, informal. Whoever wants to show up just shows up. And we have dinner together. Well, because it's Chicago, and U-505 is in Chicago there, we have a special tour set up. So if anybody wants to go see U-505, send us an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, and join us. So anyhow, I got to look halfway neat and clean for that. I can't look like an aging hippie.
You don't look like an aging hippie.
Okay.
No.
At any rate.
Maybe aging homeless person, but not a hippie. No.
Yeah, that's for sure. All I need is a shopping cart with all my junk in it to be pushing it around town, and I'd fit right in. So.
Well, anyway. It was an excellent video. And doggone it, I should have put it back. I'm going to put it back up for a second run. You got a little bit of bump, I think, in viewers from that. You should have. It's a good video.
Yeah, now, it's real hardcore fact.
It's all fact. I mean, and you just roll it out. These people who try to make money on the alleged suicide of Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun, are disgusting, and their work shows it. I don't know what else to say. It's bad, just plain bad.
Yeah, there's either the ones who are pushing that to make money, as you say, and there's nothing wrong with making money as long as you're doing it honestly. But if you're pushing forth a fraudulent concept, knowing it's fraudulent, then shame on you. Or there's the other ones. There's one guy that didn't like what he saw on my YouTube. Okay, fine. But he goes back to the old, put a quarter in the jukebox and listen to the same old baloney. Everybody knows Hitler was dead because they said he was dead. Oh, my goodness, come on. So, there's always, those guys are jealous wannabe historians because somebody else is on the air and they are not. So they have to. It's the old crab theory, which I've mentioned before, where the old man is dangling a chicken neck on a line down in the water, catching crabs, bringing them up, throwing them into an open pail. And some kid walks by and says, "Hey, mister, you better put a lid on your pail because they're going to get out." And the old man says, "Nope." As soon as one gets close to the edge, the others pull him back down again. And that's what these clowns are all about.
They use you mercilessly to do their research for them. And then they take it and they spin it any way they want. And, a lot of it, I believe, a lot of it is being run by certain organizations who want to demean your work and try to make you feel lousy. You've done all this work. You've broken news to the world on this subject for years and years, and they want to make you feel lousy. I just don't like that. I just don't. Theft is theft. I don't care what it is. I don't like it.
Yeah, let me give you an interesting thing that you haven't even heard about yet. I was going over old credit card receipts for my accountant, and our book Hitler in Argentina came out in 2006. I came across a credit card receipt from a guy named Gerard Williams, who had joined Shark Hunters in 2008. And he got information from us, and of course he got a copy of our book, and he came out with his own book called Gray Wolf, The Hunt for Adolf Hitler, in 2010. And some who've read it said it, a lot of it reads like passages from my book. I don't know. I never read it. And that's the book they use for this Hunting Hitler TV farce. So he actually joined Shark Hunters, and that's where he got his, I don't know if that's where he got all his information, but that's where he got some of it. Interesting, eh?
Well, it's kind of the same old, same old. It's just what people do. When you come across people who tell you, gee, Harry, I saw such and such program on the History Channel or whatever channel, and you have to straighten them out. You have to tell them what really happened. And I guess this is just going to be the way it is. This is one, when you think about it, the death of Adolf Hitler is one of the most, it's one of the biggest lies in modern history.
That's correct.
Period.
That's correct. And that, in my opinion, that's the biggest lie out of World War II is Hitler's suicide. He didn't commit suicide. Eva Braun did not commit suicide. But what people are missing, the big picture there, not only Hitler, Eva Braun, Bormann, Mengele did indeed escape to South America, but so did 3,000 or 4,000 others that nobody even bothers to. And how did they go? How were they protected? Juan Perón was their protector because Bormann kept paying him off with all the money that was at his disposal. He was the money man. And as I think I mentioned before, the guy who designed the Focke Wulf FW-190 fighter plane, the best fighter plane Germany had, Professor Kurt Tank, he left for Argentina along with about 50 other aeronautical engineers, all with their wives, and they set up shop down there in Cordoba City, which is the headquarters of the Argentine Air Force. And he was designing fighter planes for the South American Air Forces. I was in his office.
Wild. Wild. And, all right, hold on a minute. We got to pause. And we'll come right back. Let's hope.
I'll be here.
I haven't heard any. I keep emailing Brazil, but no response yet. Nothing.
Okay.
We'll find out. Hold on.
I'm
back
here
in a minute with Admiral Cooper. Okay, let's get right back to business. Now, I've just gotten a communique from Brasilia, and it looks like, let me reload the page. Everyone, go ahead and try and reload the page. Let's see what we've got. Looking guests, and we have Harry Cooper there showing loud and clear and photos underneath that. So go ahead and hit the photos link.
Oh,
and
jump
we'll load
back,
them up.
Jack. There we are. Almost like we know what we're doing here.
Yeah.
I had a chance to get me another cup of tea during the break anyhow.
Is this all the pictures you sent?
About 24 of them, I think. Oh, believe me, we can...
23. I wanted you
about.
I wanted you to load up a whole bunch of pictures of these hotels, but it's all right, especially that one out in the middle of nowhere. That's an amazing sight to see. Okay, we've got some pictures to look at. First of all, we're going to talk about three of the most important books on World War II history that will ever be produced. And they're right there in the first picture. So go ahead and load up the first picture and click on that, and you'll see a nice spread. Yeah. And there you go. Three books.
Yeah, these three books, in my opinion, pretty well tell the whole story. Of course, they're great in my opinion. I wrote them. Hitler in Argentina tells exactly how Hitler got out, how he got down to South America, and believe me, it was not on board U-530. There's a couple of books out, one by Gerard Williams and one by Jerome Corsi. I haven't read either one of them, but I know in the book there they say that he escaped on board U-530. Baloney. The skipper of U-530 was a member of Shark Hunters, and we had extensive talks with him. He swore on his honor as an officer and a gentleman. No, he had no passengers aboard. Plus the fact, as I've said before, we knew Hitler was in the Führer bunker on his birthday in 45, right. April the 20th. On that particular day, U-530 was already 3 days out to sea, so it just... And it was on a combat patrol. It was going to New York, which it did, and it fired at some ships, and the war was over, and they decided they were going to try to make it to Chile, where some of the crew had relatives, but they ran into heavy weather and used up too much fuel, so they surrendered in Mar del Plata. The second book, Hitler and the Secret Alliance, it makes it very crystal clear how it was so easy for all these people to get into Argentina and assimilate in there, because there was a huge German population in Argentina. 80% of the Argentine population is 80% descended from Western European, primarily Germany, some Italian. So it was all there. And plus the money that Bormann brought helped Perón decide he wanted to...
How much do we think he brought in today's dollars? What do you think he brought in there?
Oh, God. Hundreds of billions at least.
Yeah. Lots of money.
Tremendous amount of money. And so that book, Hitler and the Secret Alliance, explains how that was possible. Hitler's spy web in South America, we tell about Hitler's spy web in South America, duh. Also, we reveal a lot of what we had in the closed file cabinets that we hadn't been releasing. We tell you where we got all this stuff. We tell you who gave it to us, and it's all hardcore credible. And these books are in stock right now. I'll tell you what, for your listeners, let me be a nice guy. Don't ever tell anybody
I was
a nice guy.
Just be a nice guy anyway.
That's out of character. The books are normally $25 a piece, which is $75, plus shipping. We can't get away from that. $8 a piece in the U.S. or $15 overseas. The post office sets that, not us. So anyhow, normally it's $25 per book, but your listeners can send us an email or call in, not now, please, and we'll make it $20 a book. So you're saving $5 a book. That almost pays for the shipping. So any one of them or all three of them, and it's they can place the order through Shark Hunters at sharkhunters.com or call us during normal business hours at 352-637-2917. And we got them in stock right now, and they're, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a big deal, but they're all hand-signed, autographed by me, and I see them on eBay or other stuff like that. And the fact that they're autographed by me, they're selling for $70 on up. So I didn't
congratulations.
I didn't think my signature was going to be that much, but that's what they're selling for.
Well, you are, Harry, the most honest, honorable, brilliant historical researcher pertaining to the truth of what happened in World War II. A lot of people, of course, died on all sides in this conflict.
Yeah.
And the one thing you have always done is honored all dead under all flags. And we've made that statement so many, too many times to count over the years here.
Yeah. When I was a young hotshot right out of school, right into the Air Force, I wanted to kill commies. They're terrible people. I wanted to kill commies. Well, you know, you listen to the propaganda. We thought all the Germans were Nazis, all the Russians were commies. And then you find they were just young people of their own country, patriotic to their own country, like I was, still am, to this country. War is a terrible thing. Nobody wins a war.
No, it's like when you hire a lawyer and go to court, it's just kind of the same thing.
Except it's a bloodless death with the attorneys. But and as far as you know, honoring the sometimes people say, well, you know, you talk about these Germans, and a lot of them were my friends, good friends. And they'll say, but they killed Americans. And my comment is, that's what they're supposed to do. We were killing Germans. They're supposed to kill us. And I ask them, wouldn't it be nice if we had a war where only our side was allowed to kill the other guys? They weren't allowed to kill anybody? It just shows how terrible wars are.
They are.
Thank God.
Especially, excuse me, but I got a note from somebody. There's a story up about Churchill and how he was such a fat, drunken fraud. An evil bastard, too. I don't mind saying it. He was
Most
saved
of the Brits
twice.
And shark hunters hate this guy.
Yes, I believe it. Twice in the last century, early on, World War I, Bernard Baruch, one of the richest men of the last century, an international Zionist, bailed Churchill out twice. Twice! And he owned him, lock, stock, and barrel. He even took Winnie to the floor of the New York Stock Exchange on Black Friday, 1929, to let Winnie watch the collapse and crash of the market. That's a lot of people died from that, talking about killing people. That
was
a setup, too. It was another one. So, Winston Churchill and Bomber Harris began bombing German cities immediately.
Yeah.
They bombed Germany first, forcing Germany to reply by beginning the Blitz on London. It was a reprisal for being attacked. We have to understand that we're never told the truth about this stuff. It's all lies.
Well, as I pointed out in my YouTube thing, that history, we are led to believe that history is the true and accurate telling of events of a certain time frame in a certain era in a certain place, when that's not correct. My number one hero in the whole world is Julius Caesar, and so I've studied the Romans a lot. So you read about all the Roman victories, the Roman conquests, the Roman this, Roman that. You never read about the people that they have overcome, the Gauls, the Volvians, etc. And the history, of course, is embellished on the Roman side. Same with the Crusades. You hear all about how the English were the ones that were running the Crusades. But no, there was tremendous number of men from the European countries that were also in on it, but you don't read that history. And the Muslims, who were on the other side of the war, you don't read any of their history either. Same thing with World War II. You read the history crafted by the Brits and the Americans, and any German history is looked on as Nazi propaganda. So,
and worse.
Yeah, right. So you and Russian, you never hear from the Russians one way or the other. I was really surprised when I went to Moscow my first time, when it was still the Soviet Union. There was no such thing as the Second World War. It's what they called the Great Patriotic War. And they defeated Germany all by themselves. The United States sent them a few airplanes and trucks and The Brits helped a little bit here with code breaking, but it was all the Russians. They did it all. Nobody ever heard of the United States, England, the rest of the Allies were just kind of a footnote. So history is carefully crafted propaganda. Maybe that's what you want to use that term. I don't know, but it's carefully crafted stories to put one side in a very good light and the other side in a very bad light, no matter what you're talking about. The conquest of the American West. Oh, the Indians were horrible people, butchering white people, and the cavalry, they were there to rescue, et cetera, long before John Wayne led the cavalry out there. But that's the way it was. That's the way it's taught. The Civil War, or down here in Florida, as it's known, the War of Yankee Aggression, it was all about stopping the slaving. No, it wasn't. Slaving was outlawed in many of the southern states before the Civil War. It was all about states' rights. But you're only reading the northern stuff. You don't read hardly anything from the southern. So
lies,
no matter what
conquest,
no matter what war you want to talk about, the winning side is the one that writes the history.
And you're right. They're still changing and revising it right now, today, right this minute. There are efforts underway to recreate history, revise it yet again. They're doing it all the time.
Yeah.
That's not a joke. All right, let's go take a look at some more pictures here. Close out this first one and go to...
Get me off my soapbox.
No. This, I don't want you to fall. You're dizzy from the loss of hair. Let's see.
Yeah, but it's not... Picture I don't number... get neck aches from holding my head up.
That's right. Picture number two. All right.
Yep. Very famous picture of the capture of U-505 by the U.S. Navy, USS Guadalcanal Task Force with the five destroyer escorts. I'm closer to that boat than almost anybody else because, first off, I saw it floating in Lake Michigan before they pulled it across Lakeshore Drive. That was on Labor Day weekend, 1954. It was my 15th birthday. We were on our way around the bottom of Lake Michigan to my granddad's farm in southwest Michigan. And I'm thinking, who would want this thing? Well, now I know. Also, the first skipper of U-505 was a member of Shark Hunters. The helmsman, the corpsman aboard, they were all members of Shark Hunters. Also, the little weasel who claimed he pulled the plug on the boat but really didn't. He was a member till we found out he was selling reproduction U-boat combat badges at gun shows claiming it was his. They were all members. Also, one of the first Americans to go down to hatch with his pistol in his hand, he was a member. Wayne Pickles, and then Zeno Lukosius, the U.S. Navy guy that closed the sea strainer to prevent the boat from sinking. He was a member. So I've got a lot more affinity to that boat than a lot of people. And in June, we're going to Chicago for another Shark Hunters informal gathering where we all get together for dinner and shoot the breeze and just talk about whatever we want. But because it's Chicago, one of our members, a guy named Larry Kagan, he's our NCOIC for this one. He's arranged a special tour of U-505 just for us guys, just for us people, Shark Hunter members, and interested people. So if you're not a member, you can still come along. Send us an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, and let us know you want to be part of the group. And then I just patch them over to Larry. Larry handles it. And we've got 19 people already for this thing, so... It's an informal. And we also go into the coal mine. So many people don't realize there's a big seam of coal underneath the city of Chicago.
Right.
And they've got an operatable coal mine underneath the Museum of Science and Industry. So we go into there, too. So that's anybody who wants to go along, just... Send me an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, and we'll get you squared away.
Very good. That'll be a lot of fun, for sure. That's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Give it the date again.
In June.
Okay. Well, that narrows it right down.
That's the best you're going to get, because we don't want to... We don't want to see...
I know, you're very smart. I want to be clear about that. So if you want to know, you got to call Shark Hunters and find out.
Yeah, email us, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com.
All right. Very good. Okay, let me get back to my picture screen here. And we're... hold on. See, you got that cough now after getting a haircut. I told you.
Yeah, all that draft going through
my
head.
I begged you. I did. I begged him. I said, please don't. Don't do it, Harry. Don't. For God's sake, don't do it.
He Fortunately, my hair keeps growing. It doesn't quit.
All right. All right. Picture number three.
But the girl who cut my hair, though, I told her she could make some extra money scooping up all my hair, selling it to a company that makes pillows.
That's how you told her she could make some extra money? Never mind. All right. Next picture. Picture number
Next
three.
Picture. Yeah.
Cooper's teeth.
Yeah.
Those are Harry Cooper's teeth.
Almost. No, this was...
Pretty spectacular.
You know, the story about Hitler committing suicide in the bunker, for some reason, has to be maintained for whatever reason. We all have our ideas.
Right.
So when our book came out, or when we first published about this in our magazine... Oh, quite some time ago, it was starting to get traction. People were realizing Hitler and Eva Braun, and it is Eva Braun, not Braun, because in German, Braun is the color brown, B-R-A-U-N. So anyhow, about, what was it, 20 years ago or so, oh, wait, no, he did commit suicide in a bunker. The Russians have a piece of his skull with a bullet hole in it, and they allowed an independent forensic pathologist to check the skull fragment and found out it was a young woman, not Hitler. So then we were getting more traction with the story of Hitler not committing suicide. People were realizing what we were saying was true because we have the information, the facts, et cetera, to back it up. So then... What was it? Almost 10 years ago, I guess. They come out with Hitler's jawbone. And you got to wonder what happened. Did he decide to commit suicide, only leave his jawbone up on the table here or something? Well, these are... Yeah, these...
Well, they made so many kettles of soup out of it. It wasn't used... It was useless, and they... Anyway.
So anyhow, the... then they come up with this... alleged jawbone of Hitler, and here in photo three are what's purported to be Hitler's teeth. And I'll tell you, if I had teeth like that, I'd be a mean, nasty guy too, probably.
But, ouch.
Yeah, they're obviously not his teeth, because he still had his teeth in his head when he was down in Argentina, well after the war. So this is just, you know, showing how it had to be Hitler. Then we look at photo number four. These are the soldiers looking over the bloodstain, and
Soviet soldiers.
Yeah. Well, the area was controlled by the Soviets.
Yeah, look at the guy on the ground. He's holding, actually, this is a flash picture. He's holding a candle. Trying to light the way. Look at that.
High tech for those guys back then.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't demean the Russians because, as you know, I'm an honorary.
Well,
Russian
all that is well and good, but let me point out one thing. It may not be politically popular, but I would urge all of you to read the book Hellstorm. Without question, one of the most devastating reads ever. And I know you're busy, Harry, but you really need to read
that
book.
No, I did. I did get into that book when it first came out, and it's an excellent book. It's well written, but it's so incredibly gruesome. Man,
that's
it'll turn your stomach. It's the truth. It's the truth. And it wasn't guys like this that were doing all the raping. It was mostly the Mongolian Soviet troops. And not only in Russia, in Moscow. I'm sorry, not only in Berlin and eastern Germany, but also down at Berchtesgaden, because the French took that area over, and they had their French Senegalese troops there, or French Moroccans, and the gang rapes were so bad there, women were committing suicide left and right, until finally the Burgermeister, the Lord Mayor there in Berchtesgaden, went to the American commander and begged him to please bring in the Americans and shove the French out. But we go on our tours into that area. We go into Berchtesgaden. We spent about 4 or 5 days in there. Just an absolutely magnificently beautiful alpine town. And there's a graveyard. We go there because there are a lot of famous people there. What's his name? Lammers, Dr. Lammers. He was in charge of maintenance of everything. His wife, his 50-year-old wife, and his 25-year-old daughter are buried there. They committed suicide right after the French came in. Dietrich Disgusting. Eckhart, the guy that founded them.
Absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
Anyhow, without question, the most hideous part of the war with respect to civilian deaths was the bombing of the Americans and the British on German civilian concentration areas. They were all in the cities, and wherever they were concentrated, they were targeted. This is a fact. It couldn't hit the military targets in many cases because they were all hidden underground. So they bombed the cities to try to break the morale of the people. Read Churchill's biography.
He admits, yeah, the Royal Air Force was
the second
was prominent in that, yeah.
Most horrible thing, maybe the first, was the invasion from the east of the hordes of communist Soviet, whatever they were. They were not, they were not human.
Untermensch.
Just unbelievable. It's not to say anything negative about the Western European Russian civilization, the people there, because the Russians today remember damn well who it was that came in there and overthrew the Tsar, slaughtered his family, took over, and was ultimately responsible for the deaths of about 100 million people. They know who did it,
and they
have never forgotten. So.
Anyway, we have a lot of Russian friends.
Yeah, one other thing, Harry. Hold on.
Yeah, sure.
The Kaganovich, I think his name was the Zionist who was urging these Mongols to rape and butcher every German civilian woman they could find. This was, again, a Zionist-pushed move to absolutely destroy the German culture, its people, and their courage, and just horrible. Anyway, go ahead, and then we got to take a break.
Okay. It'll come to me, the name of the guy who was on the radio from Russia urging them on to do all that stuff. But
was
the sad fact,
Kaganovich, wasn't it? I'll find out.
I'll think of it during the break too. The sad thing about any war, when one side is totally defeated, has no defense left, the women are all the spoils of war. They are raped and turned into slaves. The men are usually executed or sold into slavery. It's wrong as hell, but that's what happens at the end of a war, which is another reason why I say war is a horrible thing. So
nothing worse than that. And we're all forced into the wars by a certain group on the planet that benefits financially enormously from war. They finance both sides in most wars and are involved with it. All right. Anyway, that's my opinion, not Harry's.
Yeah, I'm not going to get involved in that part.
I'm interested in
dates, not in who.
Yeah. Hang on. We'll be right back with more pictures and more conversation. Stay tuned.